I must write this account, and when I have finished, I will burn it. Mine is the historian's task, to record the events of the last century, showing God's mighty hand in ridding these southern lands between the Garona and the Rose rivers of the heresy of the Albigensians. I am asked to show future generations how God's justice was carried out by the Crusade against these so-called good men, Boon Zumes, good women, Bunas Femnas, and friends of God, Amix de Dieu, and how the inquisitions that followed, wrought by my brother Dominicans, finished God's holy work. The collected records of more than half a century of inquisitorial toil are mine to examine, transcripts, testimonies, and confessions from a generation now all but extinct. When searching out a history, sifting through 1,000 facts and 10,000 lives, one often uncovers pieces that do not fit. The prudent choice is to cast those details aside, like chaff into the fire. The story must be understandable. The moral should be clear. Perhaps I am not a prudent man. I found pieces that haunted me, voices echoing from parchment leaves that would not let me sleep at night. I could find no rest until I searched out the truth, studied what I could learn about those involved, and found a way with, I pride myself, a minimum of invention, to make the pieces fit. If only for me. There are those who would say this record casts doubt upon the righteousness of the Church's work, which is why this book, written for my private satisfaction, must not outlive me. I myself have never been an inquisitor. I was, I confess, not cut out for it. But I was a patient laborer in the fields of knowledge, and so to Tolosa's archives I was sent after my university studies in Paris. Here I have spent nearly 30 years. It was in the days when Count Raymond's daughter Joanna still ruled as Contessa de Tolosa, before Proenza came under the rule of the King of France, and when I myself was new to this vocation, that the Bishop of Tolosa, himself a former inquisitor of renown, came home to the convent of the Jacobins to spend his final days. It happened that I served in the hospice one evening. The ailing bishop began to speak to me. He seemed impelled to tell his tale. He confessed to a secret doubt that had plagued him throughout his life, unease over whether he had done God's will in one particular case. I reassured him with all my heart that he had done his best to serve the Lord. He thanked me with tears. In the morning, he was gone. Some months after, I found papers belonging to a priest in a seacoast villa, a priest known for composing sacred songs of great beauty. The papers made it clear he was not their author. A woman had written them, and with them a curious and troubling account of her own spiritual journey. Names and places in the woman's account reminded me of the old bishop's testimony. And so I wondered. Later still, a lengthy narrative from a friar in Barcelona fell into my hands, painstakingly recorded. The pieces of my mystery at last began to fit. I puzzled over its connecting threads. Finally, and perhaps rashly, I decided to stitch the pieces together, however clumsily, and record it. The gaps and errors in the sewing are my own. Of its overall completeness, however, I feel certain. These voices from the past had arisen like ghosts demanding to be heard. This, I will confess, is one of the secret thrills of my historical work. But listening too closely to those voices in these times in which I live may also be its most terrible danger.